Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you.
Good evening, you are now listening to Atlanta Life's Radio, There Is Life After Layoff, with your host, Allie Ward, and co-host, Dr. Regina Ward. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or website show radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including any advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this web talk radio program. We want you to sit back. We want you to sit back, grab a pen and paper, and join in the conversation. Tonight we have a special broadcast. So just sit back and listen for this for a moment as we bring on our show host.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
We have an exciting show for you today in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King. And without further ado, I bring you Allie Ward. Allie?
Hello, and welcome once again to the next episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie Ward, your host, and along with my co-host, Dr. Regina Ward, who is a licensed professional counselor who specializes in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders, it is our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery, empowerment, after recently being laid off. Please join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. on Atlanta Life Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. You can also follow my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. If you wish to contact us directly, you can also send us an email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And guess what? I'm also on Twitter, so search me out at AllieWard45. And on behalf of Doc and myself, we sincerely thank you for joining us once again as we share our insights with you into the experience of being laid off. Good evening, Doc, and thank you for being here with me once again tonight. We have a lot to share tonight, especially after celebrating such a great day with it being Martin Luther King National Day of Service yesterday, and of course, the inauguration of the second term for President Obama. What a historic day was yesterday.
Yes, it was. Allie, I am especially excited about our show tonight. As we talk a little bit about more of our experience, not only do we talk the talk, but we walk the walk On yesterday, we had an excellent opportunity to volunteer with Hands On Atlanta. And as our conversation continues, hopefully we can talk a little bit more about our experience. One, we had an opportunity to give back, so we participated in the spirit of service, of giving back. And again, that's something that we'll talk about a little more. What I was most excited about, as we were volunteering yesterday, the theme or the question that was asked as we were going through the volunteering was, what would we march for? And the three things that came to mind to me is, I would march for peace, unity, and love. So that's kind of what our resounding theme of this show is going to be about tonight, the service of giving back, and how do we obtain peace, especially in a time of being laid off. So, Allie, I'm excited.
Thanks, Doc, for those comments. And, yes, I'm ready to get started. But before we move forward into tonight's subject, I need to remind those of you who are tuning in for the first time that please know that this is a forum that we are using to help to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by layoff. So, in other words, we're not here to complain. We're not here to ridicule. We're not here to point fingers at former employers or colleagues or any one individual. We're not even here to feel sorry for ourselves, because we're not going to allow that to happen. Most of all, we're here so that I can share my insight into my journey of rediscovery and discovering my true purpose and how I've been empowered to walk in that purpose. But most of all, we're here to serve you and to help give you, the listener, a voice and an opportunity to share your story with us. We feel like there's healing when you are encouraged and you're heard. So with that said, I'm very excited to dive into tonight's topic, because I feel like it was a turning point in my life and in my walk with God. Before I go any further, though, the excerpt that you heard earlier in the program, most of you recognize as being that of Dr. Martin Luther King's iconic I Have a Dream speech. This year happens to mark the 50th anniversary of that speech, which was made on August 28th in 1963 during the historic March on Washington, when Dr. King addressed over 200,000 civil rights supporters, where he made a call to Washington for racial equality and for an end to racial discrimination. Now, that was a turning point in the American Civil Rights Movement. And that speech that he made was ranked as one of the top American speeches of the 20th century. And a lot of people may not know this, but the name of that speech was not originally supposed to be I Have a Dream. What most people probably don't know was that the name was supposed to be Normalcy Never Again. However, while Dr. King was making that speech, and everybody might recognize Mahalia Jackson, the great gospel singer, she was in the crowd, and she happened to call out to Dr. King, "Tell them about the dream, Martin." Well, that stirred something up inside of Dr. King, because he stopped reading from his prepared speech and started preaching. And then he started punctuating his points with, "I have a dream," and I guess you could say the rest is history. So as we move forward in tonight's discussion, as Doc indicated, it is only befitting that we talk about how to live in peace and seek peace in your life, even in the midst of a struggle. I had to really realize that in that a point in my life, I was tired of being sick and tired. I had to take a good long look at myself and all of my relationships, which included that at home and work and wherever, and I didn't like what I saw. At that point in time, I had to make a conscious decision to really start diligently seeking peace in my life. And I need to say that, you know, I had to ask myself the question, okay, so how do I do that? I need to say at this point that all the ministries that I have been privileged to be a part of in my journey over the years have all played a significant part in my spiritual growth, for which I am really grateful, because they all served a purpose for where I was at that point in my life, and they all taught me to seek the Word of God and His wisdom in dealing with the situations in my life. So with that said, I knew immediately that I needed to start studying and focusing on God's Word and what it said about how to live in peace. Most of us probably don't realize it, but we already have been given peace. The issue is, and the problem with most of us, is that we don't know how to access or apply it in our lives. So I had to learn that instead of praying and asking God to give me peace, that I had to ask Him for wisdom in learning how to walk in the peace that He already has given me. So I had to learn how to pray differently. Yes, I also had to realize that I had to first get my relationship with God right. I had to also get my relationship with myself right, because then after those two things are in line, then my relationship with other people could be on the right path. I had to take a look and see, okay, was I truly trusting God? And the answer probably I would have to say was no, because I was praying and asking God to help me with the situations or issues in my life, but then I would take it back from Him and try to handle it myself. Mm. So that showed God that I was not trusting Him to handle those situations. I had to finally realize, okay, when you give it to God, let it stay there. Let Him handle it. He can handle it far more better than I could. And then at that point in time, that allowed me to be able to remain in peace. So once I finally figured that out, I had to reconcile peace within myself. This part was probably one of the toughest things that I had to come to grips with. It was a bitter pill to swallow, because at this point, I had to be willing to swallow my pride. I had to be willing to humble myself in situations when I find myself being challenged. I had to be the one willing to go the extra mile to be the peacemaker, even if I didn't feel like being the peacemaker. Mm. One key lesson that I learned was that God does not hold us accountable for how the way others may treat us or what they do to us, but guess what? He holds us accountable for how we choose to respond in those situations. So, like, to explain that further, when you make the comment or the statement, "You make me sick," No. You make yourself sick, because you chose to respond out of hatred or anger or whatever, or out of frustration, and let your emotions overtake you instead of responding with truth and in love. That was a key point that I had to really reconcile within myself. I had to change my attitude. I had to ask God to help me be more aware of and conscious of my responses at all times, whether it be at home or at work. It took me, in all honesty, it's taken me a number of years to get to that point. It's not anything that happened overnight. I just continue to diligently seek Him. And finally, I was able to overcome the need to be right all the time. And please believe me that being right all the time is highly overrated. I had to learn that I wanted to speak the truth in love and not for selfish reasons. I can honestly remember, Doc, when I first realized that I had gotten it. I was in the midst of a disagreement with my husband. I don't even remember what it was about. But something, and it was getting heated, and it was something, you know, that we were really getting heated about, and we were raising our voices or what have you. But in the moment, I remember God spoke to me and said, that's not peace. And the next statement that I made probably surprised me more than it surprised my husband. But what I said was, I want peace in my home more than I need to be right.
Wow.
And at that moment, I knew that God was working on me and through me. And I spoke peace into that situation with those words. I was able to, at that point in time, diffuse it from going or escalating into something uglier than it needed to be. And I took my control back from the enemy and realized that I had peace in the midst of that storm. And I have to understand and know that you know, this is something that I have to work on daily. It's not anything that's, you know, going to be a perfected thing. But guess what?
Right.
God does not expect perfection, but he does expect progress.
That's
so
good.
I
like
that. Yes. I had to realize that, okay, I wasn't going to be perfect every day, and I was going to have to work on it every day. But you know what? As long as I was growing in my spiritual walk, that was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Another lesson that I learned in my pursuit for peace in my life was how to keep strife out of my life. Now, what's strife? Strife can be defined as bickering, arguing, or a heated disagreement. You know, when you things get out of control and you're responding purely out of emotions or adrenaline flowing in the heat
right.
of the situation. I had to learn how to deal with that in a more calm way and in a more peaceful manner. But one thing about strife can also, and I've learned this in my seeking peace, is that strife can be internal. When you harbor strife within your heart, it can mask itself as resentment. So people have to really be careful that, yeah, you may say with your words, oh, I forgive you, but you don't mean it. So, you know, when a situation, you know that unforgiveness or that resentment is still in your heart, when a situation may raise its head and you have to do something or say something nice about that person who wronged you and you have an ill feeling, then you know you still have that resentment or that unforgiveness in your heart. So guess what? If you say you forgive somebody, forgive them for real, because then you have to deal with that with God. And another thing that really hit home for me as a mom, I saw my bad behavior being mimicked in my children. I did not like what I saw. And I'm getting a little emotional because I realized that I was putting that bad behavior into my children.
That's
and
good.
Planting those seeds of ugliness in them, and I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like what I was doing. And I, at that point, when I saw them mistreating each other or talking ill toward each other and not getting along and not walking in love toward one another or just in how they were responding around the house, I had to really focus on how I was dealing and interacting with my children. And it's tough when you're tired and you're frustrated and you have them pulling at you or asking you a million questions and you're just, you know, you're done. But I had to learn how to just stop, catch my breath, and just respond in love and realize, okay, what you're about to say, is that going to hurt them or is it going to help them grow? So I really had to take a bitter pill with that and look at myself, but I had to take responsibility as the adult and know that it was my responsibility to make sure that they were walking in the same peace and love that I was seeking in my life. Once I decided and started putting my relationships in my home under a microscope, I was able to carry that over into the workplace. So with that said, I had to try to be able to tune out the negativeness that the environment that I may have been in, or if somebody wanted to vent to me or complain about something, I had to learn not to fan the flames of that fire and give my opinion and my two cents when it really wasn't needed. That was hard because when you're in a negative environment, sometimes, you know, you just kind of feed into that negativity and you get pulled into that conversation. But I had to learn how to bite my tongue. And once I started doing that, my stress level kind of reduced itself, and I was able to come home more peaceful. And how I, you know, reacted to my children wasn't as you know, I wasn't as stressed out when I was reacting to them. So, you know, I really had to do a lot of soul searching and make sure that my relationship, number one, with God was right, with myself, and then with others, and all of that, you know, came together, and I continue to work on it daily, but you know what? It's all worth it. I wake up every morning with a new grace and mercy, and I realize that, you know, it's worth me making the effort because my relationship with God is where it's supposed to be. And Therefore, he was able to speak this vision into me for There Is Life After Lair, where I'm able to be an inspiration to others. And now, okay, as we wind down to get ready to take our first station break, I encourage those of you who have volunteer experiences from yesterday in honor of Dr. King's Day of Service, please call in and share your experience with us. Or if you just simply want to share your layup experience with our listening audience or just want to make a comment, you can call us at 347-324-5246. Please press the number 1 if you want to be added to the host queue. And know that you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with your hosts, Ali Ward and Doc. We'll be right back to take your calls.
God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining. This is just training to be ready for what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord. I have my faith in, even when it seems.
Good evening. You are listening to Atlanta Life Radio. There Is Life After Layoff. Thank you for joining us, and now back to Allie. Allie?
Welcome back. And if you just tuned in, you may have heard a portion of our theme song, Failure Is Not Final, which is sung by Palmer Williams Jr., otherwise known as Floyd the Barber, from Tyler Perry's House of Pain. You can check him out at his website and even purchase his recently released CD entitled Neo Saved. His website address is www.palmerwilliamsjr.com. And thank you again, Palmer, for allowing us to use this song. As Melinda indicated, you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with your host, Ali Ward, and my co-host, Doc. Please tune in to listen to us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8, or you can follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And I'm also on Twitter at AllieWard45, so please follow me. All right, Doc, it's our favorite time in the show.
Yes.
It's time for us to take callers.
Yes, if you would like to call or share your volunteer experience or share your layoff story or just weigh in on this conversation, simply make a comment or just simply make a comment, please call us at area code 347-324-5246, and make sure you press 1 to be added in the lineup of callers. Allie, are we ready for a call right now?
Melinda, do we have any callers ready to join the conversation?
Yes, we do. We have our first caller. We have Rhonda from Bronx, New York. Rhonda, you are now on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Rhonda. Welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I just want to congratulate my cousin Alicia on her Life Radio show. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you.
After layoff. You just have to believe and have faith. You'll get it through this hardful time. You'll get through it. And
exactly.
You got to be strong. You can't sit around and mope and feel sorry for yourself, and you just got to get through it, and you got to be strong. And there is life after layoff. And try to keep your mind focused, and try to keep busy, even if it's volunteering or doing something. Keep busy.
Exactly. Thank you for your lovely comments and your inspiring comments for our listening audience. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
Melinda, do we have any other callers?
Not at this moment, so why don't we just continue on, and then I will cue you in when our next caller is on the board.
All right. Doc,
why don't you give us a little bit of what happened yesterday and what we experienced as far as our volunteer experience with Hands On Atlanta? Can you elaborate on that?
I am so glad you asked that question. First of all, thank you so much for that history lesson in the beginning, because probably like many of our listeners, I was not aware that the I Have a Dream speech had originally another name.
Yes.
As you were talking about that, it took me back to the history lessons that we gained on yesterday. I remember our volunteer leader, when I saw his name tag, it said Ivan Allen. And for
right.
many of Atlanta listeners or natives of Atlanta, you're probably familiar with the Ivan Allen Boulevard and probably don't even realize the history or even who Ivan Allen is. So as I kept seeing that name tag, it was just resonating in my spirit to ask, was he an heir of Ivan Allen? And he indeed stated that he was the grandson of Ivan Allen. So
mm-hmm.
we got a quick history lesson on that, which was very interesting. He stated that Ivan Allen served two terms as mayor of Atlanta. And what was more interesting and poignant about who Ivan Allen was, he was very instrumental in working with Dr. Martin Luther King and a lot of black leaders behind the scene. He stated that they would meet often out of the limelight and strategize on how to bring integration to Atlanta. And so his grandfather was very instrumental in bringing integration and basically making Atlanta the city that it is. So that was very interesting. And he said at the time that the newspapers were very instrumental as well, and they were very responsive. So even though they couldn't do it in the forefront, behind mm-hmm. the scenes, there was a lot of action going on. So I thought that
right.
was interesting. And even the networking experiences, there were a lot of companies that had groups come out to give back of their time. And when I asked how did this come about, they stated that their particular company believed in giving back to the community. So
right.
I know I felt, even though it was cold out, I think yesterday was maybe one of the coldest days in Atlanta, but I think you forget about that. As you are giving back of yourself, it's more about the project or the experience at hand. Yesterday, the volunteer efforts was about creating a trail in an area that used to be a brick yard. So it was a mm-hmm. in the past, it was an area that they would just have bricks or different bricks, and they cleaned it out and made it a park. So now it's a green space, and Hands On Atlanta, along with the Audubon Society, and that was another history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
We found out, if you remember, that Audubon was businessman and artist that loved
mm-hmm.
Birds. And so Audubon Society came out and partnered with Hands On Atlanta to create a trail in this green space. So, again, it was just an excellent opportunity, again, to time to share and give back. What it did, it left me saying that I'm not going to just do it once a year during the King holiday. I'm going to make this a lifestyle. So that's definitely something I walked away feeling and knowing that now this is going to be a part of my life.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes, that, it was a rich history lesson. It was certainly a rich history lesson for
yeah.
all of us. And it gave us, like you said, an opportunity to learn more about our history. And I'm so glad that you decided to ask Mr. Allen exactly who he was connected to and his history and his background.
Right.
Because if we don't, you know, have the fear to you know, the courage to ask, we'll never know. And so that gave us an opportunity to really tap into some history that we probably may have heard of in the background, but just weren't really aware of. You know, you just
exactly.
never know who you come in contact with in this life. So as we move
well,
forward
ladies,
tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Ladies, we do have another caller. Are you ready?
Oh, great.
Okay.
Yes.
We have Raquel from Ostell, Georgia. Raquel, you are live on air.
Good evening, ladies. I just want to call and say that I am just so grateful and appreciative of God giving both of you this vision in order to put it together and share with us. But I also want to share that my husband was laid off for a long period of time, and during the layoff, it caused me to struggle a lot in several areas. And I just had to really fall down on my knees and say, God, which way do you want me to go? Not the way that I want to go, which way you want me to go. And help me in every aspect, even with my husband still being submissive, just in every aspect of my life, Lord, help me, guide me. And what he gave me, he said, I need you to be more submissive to your husband and not retaliate and not point the finger and not being blaming, you know, because, you know, this is just with the economy and it is what it is. But I always give you what you need when you need it. So you don't have to worry anymore, you know. And I was just like, wow, I asked and I received, you know, and it was just great to be able to talk and have that relationship with God, and he be able to shine in the darkest hours, you know. So I'm just so grateful and thankful for y'all to just be able to bring this to life. I wish it would have been back in the days when we was, you know, actually going through it. So many people are going through it, you know, more now than ever, but it's just rewarding just to be able to share and just to be able to compliment you ladies on the hard work and just to continue to work on the vision, because God will always make a way. If he bring you to it, he would definitely bring you through it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Raquel, for your comments, and thank you for, you know, inspiring others to just stay strong. And Doc, did you have any questions for our caller?
I did. Raquel, I have a question. You stated that you found yourself kind of wanting to say something, but you, after praying, submitted.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how that changed the situation and even changed the atmosphere as you began to submit.
Okay. Just being submissive, that was one of my challenges as, you know, being a lady, just being strong-headed and just want to make all of the decisions. And I had to just, like, really take back, you know, step back and just say, you know, what is it, God, that you want me to do? And when he said that, it's like, it's right in the Bible. I have to be submissive. If I can be submissive to God, I have to be submissive to my husband. So I have to include him on everything that, you know, I'm thinking, and I have to work on my heart to not to be so angry. And I'm not angry at him. I was just angry at the situation. And how are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? But I'm glad that he was laid off, because it taught us so much. It brought us so close together. And we had to revamp our whole finances, our whole life, and we both start going to church together. And I was just like, look at what God has done, when all before we was just wasteful and, you know, whatever it was, you know, you just go and get it, didn't think about it. But then when that happened, we had to go back and just say, okay, let's look at our, you know, and look at everything from head to toe. What can we cut? What do we need to cut? What's a necessity? And what we can just get rid of, you know. So by us being able to just sit down and talk without fussing and arguing, you didn't do this and I didn't do this, and, you know. And when, Alicia, when you said that earlier in the comments of how you was actually, you know, handling a lot of the things, I was just, oh, Lord, me too. So it is just wonderful to be able to talk with someone that, you know, that have shared or actually going through or may go through, to know that there's help and there's people out there that's willing to help you. All you have to do is let down that pride, because I'm very prideful and I won't ask for help, but let go that pride, let go and let God, and he put people in your path that you need to see. He does.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Lastly, Raquel,
thank you so
much. Tonight our show theme was service and peace. Lastly, I want to ask you, how important do you feel it is for a person to live in peace and harmony?
Oh, it is very important. I mean, peace and harmony is just the surrounding. That's how God was. And just look at Martin Luther King. I mean, that's what he preached, peace. I mean, and no matter what, I mean, the world is crazy around us, but if you be peaceful, he's going to protect us and he's going to bring us to where we need to be. And just to serve, I mean, do God's will. You know, we have to serve. That's what we're here for. And we all have our own individual thing that we have to seek God for, to see what our purpose is. But once you get there, you'll know you're there. You know you're there. But serving, you got to serve him, and you got to work as if you're working for the Lord. No matter what situation you're in, whether when my husband was laid off, he was just like, well, I can't sit around and just wait on, you know, an unemployment check because that's not going to cover the bills. I got to do what I got to do. So he would go and wash cars, and, you know, he would just, he would sell CDs and videotape and stuff, and you know, just make music, and you know, just be out, just doing, just hustling, pretty much, just to make ends meet. You know, so serving is always. And when you serve someone, and when you serve someone high, like the Lord, he always make a way, no matter what. I mean, through it all, he always, he give you what you need when you need it, and he's always on time.
Exactly. Wow. And you know what I heard in that comment that you just made, Raquel, is we have to be willing to humble ourselves. Sometimes that, you know, God will give us a situation that he feels that, okay, that's breaking us down to a level of really wanting to serve him and not thinking that we're higher or better than in the midst of that. You know, so sometimes these struggles that we go to is the way of God. He's dealing with us on a more personal level than we really, you know, give him credit for dealing with.
Right.
And it's all about being able to humble yourself and to seek him and really, really trust him for that peace and for his intervention in your life. Because we have a tendency, like I said earlier, to give it to him and then take it right back. And it's like, why are you praying if you're just going to take it back from him? Just give it to him and let it stay there.
Right.
You know, that was my aha moment.
That's good.
Yes, indeed. But thank you, ladies.
Absolutely.
I wish you the best of luck and continue to inspire and educate us on, you know, whatever it is that God wants us to do.
Thank you so much again, Raquel, for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Melinda, are we ready for a station break?
Yes, we are.
Okay, and when we return, if we have another caller, we'll take another call. If not, we'll get into further discussion with Doc, and we could summarize key points for tonight and for our listeners while she gives you some practical solutions. We'll be right back.
Be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving up.
In you, Lord, I have my faith in.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
Good evening. You are listening to Atlanta Life Radio. There is life after layoff. We are having an awesome show tonight, as Allie Ward and her co-host, Dr. Regina Ward, share what they did yesterday during the M.L. King holiday and celebrating a day of service. So back to our show. Allie?
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. As Melinda stated, you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio. And please know that we are now connected to Facebook, so you can just go out there on Facebook and search for Atlanta Life Radio, and please friend us or post a comment. Or once again, you could follow me on Twitter at AllieWard45 and also on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. Melinda, do we have any callers on the line?
Not at this time, so we can just continue with the show, and I'll come in if we do.
Okay. Okay, at this point in our show, Doc, I think I'm going to turn it over to you so that you could kind of summarize some of what we've discussed this evening and give our listeners some practical solutions in dealing with this and this issue within their lives.
Okay, and if we have some more time, there are some questions that I can ask you, too, because I'm curious to kind of get some feedback on what you thought about our experience yesterday, and especially the question that was asked, what would you march for? So which one would you like? Let's go, which one would you like for me to do first, questions or solutions?
Go ahead and do the questions, and we'll give the solutions towards the end of the program.
Okay, that'll be fine. So for you, what was your experience like, and how would you answer that question, what would you march for on yesterday?
First of all, that's a profound question. Most of us probably have not taken the time to search within ourselves to even know the answer to that. But first and foremost, I really have to kind of piggyback on what you said, peace. Number one, peace. There's so much turmoil brewing in the world. I mean, you can just turn on the TV and look at the reality shows that are on TV now, where we have become accustomed to being entertained by someone else's drama or somebody else's situation that is causing them strife or, you know, just bad situations in a person's life. And we're using that as a form of entertainment. That's, to me, I have an issue with that. So, you know, I pretty much have cut back on a lot of my TV watching, and I've been more selective in my choices of programs, and I'm also very selective in what I allow my children to listen to or watch on TV. I don't want to plant that seed that can fester and grow into something later on in their lives. But we really need to get back to seeking peace in our lives, and it's not going to fall on our heads. And you have to want it in order for it to happen in your life and seek it diligently. So what I would want to march for would be, first and foremost, the peace. And yesterday was just really, like you said, it was a history lesson, because we got an opportunity to meet somebody that probably we would not have ever met in another situation.
Right.
And I thank you for your courage for asking him who he was, because I didn't ask him. And he was so humble in how he explained his
and peaceful, the peace exuded from him when he spoke. So
exactly, and he was more than willing to share his story. He wasn't like, do I have to tell? You know, he was ready, and he gave us a brief snapshot, but it covered everything. And then, you know what? Immediately, you and I sat together and looked it up further.
Right.
And it taught us a little bit more about the history of Atlanta.
Exactly.
So I was thankful for the opportunity yesterday, and it gave us an opportunity to network with people that we wouldn't have normally networked in our regular everyday circles. So I was really thankful, and I was still full, you know, after yesterday. And as you said, I want to do more than just serve on King's Holiday, you know, National Day of Service. I want to make it a regular part of my everyday life.
Right. Awesome. Let me ask you this. How important do you feel it is for a person to live in peace and harmony?
Like I mentioned, it was a turning point in my life. I don't think that if a person doesn't have peace in their life, they're living in the midst of turmoil. It is so key in turning my life around, because had I not some years ago started really seeking diligently for that peace, and I had to be willing to look at the root cause of why I didn't have it. I had to be willing to look at myself. So I had to do a lot of soul searching, and I had to be willing to see the ugly picture about myself and accept it. And a lot of us can't do that, but until you're willing to take that pill and swallow it, you're never going to progress in your life, in your walk, and your life is going to continue to be in turmoil. So it's probably one of the most important aspects of my walk with God is seeking that peace. And with that peace, I'm trusting Him. I'm showing Him that I'm leaving it with Him. I'm trusting Him to take care of it. And then He's allowing me to be blessed by that and allowing me to walk in love and in truth. And so, you know, it's probably one of the most important lessons that I've learned in my spiritual journey.
Well, you said something very profound earlier that I kind of want to piggyback on when you said being careful, or how you are real careful on what you watch. And I want to just stress how important that is to our listeners, that you have to be careful what you put in your eye gate and your ear gate. There are spirits that are attached to many things that we hear. That goes for the people that we surround ourselves with, who we allow in our inner circle, and definitely when you sleep, being very careful of keeping your TV on, because when you're in a unconscious state, that information or the things that are still on the TV, even though you feel like you're asleep, it's getting in your spirit. So be very careful with that situation.
Wow.
That's something I'm compelled to just stress. Going back to a question for you, what do you feel causes a person not to live in peace and harmony?
I believe that, first and foremost, they probably don't know who they are. They're not in tune with who they are. And like I stated, they don't know what the root cause of why they don't have peace in their life. And I think it's for the lack of knowledge. And I know you've probably heard, for the lack of knowledge that people perish. People just don't know how to access peace in their life. Or like I said earlier, they have it, but they just don't know how to tap into that resource. And so they're praying for the wrong thing. You have to be willing to have an open mind. And if something's not working, then you need to be willing to go another route. So, you know, it's just like if you're walking or if you're driving down the street and you got a dead end, you're going to turn around and go the other way, because otherwise you're going to just be stuck there. So in our lives, we have to be willing to turn around and take maybe an alternate route and figure out, maybe I'm doing something wrong here because I'm stuck. And you know, everything in my life is in an uproar. You know, my family's, you know, I'm arguing with my spouse, or my children are carrying on or not walking, you know, not treating one another good. So something, you know, you have to really be in tune with your surroundings and realize what's going on there. Maybe I need to make a change. But you know what? You got to start, first of all, with your relationship with God. Start with yourself. Be looking at yourself before you could point out to someone else, or maybe work on praying to help God change that person. Because that was another lesson I had to learn. You can't change people. God changes them. You know, we get into these relationships and we realize, oh, you know, he'll change. What you see is what you get. if you expect that person to change, you need to give it to God and let God work on that. And if they need to change, he'll see fit to do it.
That's good.
That was a hard lesson for me to learn, but I learned it nonetheless. A little late, but you know what? Better late than never.
Right, right. Never too late. If Dr. King was here and alive today, how do you think he would rate how far we've come in living in peace and harmony?
Good question. Probably on a scale, let's say, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, I'd probably have to say between a 2 or a 3.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Yeah, that's my opinion. That's my humble opinion. And as I stated, just turn on it. Evidence of this is this, you know, you turn on your TV, turn on your radio. I don't even watch the news anymore because it's so depressing with all the turmoil. I mean, I am aware of what's going on in the world. I don't put my head in the sand, but at the same time, like you mentioned, you got to really be careful what you let into your subconscious.
Right.
And I just choose not to watch the news because it's just it's depressing.
Right.
There's so much, you know, turmoil and drama, and then, like I said, what we're using as a form of entertainment, and it's really sad. I choose to be more positive. So you know what? If I have to turn the TV off and maybe get a book that's going to inspire me, then I'll do that. But Dr. King, he knew that we had a struggle ahead of us, but he knew that the way to get what we needed done was not being violent. He knew that the only way, he knew enough about the word as a pastor to seek peace and knew he was letting God handle it. And look what happened.
Right.
Although we have not come, you know, 100% to where we really need to be, we're getting there. We're making strides. We're making strides. It's just that there's so many people trying to take God out of things that they're infringing on our right to serve God.
Hmm.
You know, and they're thinking that it's their right, but then they're in them seeking their rights, they're taking away our right to serve him.
That's good. That's
yeah,
good.
And so, you know, I don't think we've really come that far, and I think he'd be disappointed if he was alive today, seriously.
You know what's interesting? I had an opportunity to catch clips from the inauguration on yesterday, and two things stand out to me. One was the luncheon, and even one of, I think it was, I'm not sure who got up to speak, but he stated that he wished this was one of the few times that the Democratic and the Republican Party was in unity, and he wished that it could be more of that throughout the world. Throughout the year, and he stated that probably as soon as they leave out of there by that night, it was going to be back to the discord that
we've been
witnessing. Yeah, that was interesting. And then number two, what stood out to me is as they were showing clips of the inauguration and how they was talking about how people were there from all walks of life and how unified they were, it was even stated that people were hungry and other people brought food or packed food and they were sharing their food with
amongst
the crowd. And so the unity. But my heart pierced, and I thought, why does it have to be one day? Why can't we continue this love? Because you could feel the love even radiate throughout the television as they talked about the unity there. And, again, that was one of why I made the decision that I'm going to start a life of service and giving back. Because as I'm doing research, I'm finding out how love raises the vibration even on this earth. Like you said, there's so many people trying to take God out of that, but love is the opposite of discord. So I invite our listeners to really, really think about giving back. More importantly, when you have lost your job and when you're laid off, I can guarantee when you go back and you forget about your problem or your situation and you begin volunteering, that number one, as I think we were educated, I want to say from our first show, we had a caller mm-hmm. and talked about the law of reciprocity, but you would
yes.
see how when you sow, how you will reap and how that will turn your situation around. And that leads me into our solutions of living in peace. One of the right. most important things to live in peace is empty your trash. I often
oh,
talk to my
good.
Clients about emptying their trash. And what that is, Allie, just imagine if you were to allow your garbage cans to fill up day after day without emptying it for a week, say a month. Think about what you would find in there. You would find decay. It would mm-hmm. be overflowing, and it would smell. And that's exactly what happens when you keep things down within you. The same thing, mm-hmm. it begins to overflow, it begins to decay, and it begins to smell, and it keeps you from living in peace.
Wow.
Another part of that is dealing with your hurts from the past, seeking professional help to help you deal with that, and that goes along with learning how to empty the trash. You may need someone to kind of guide you in assisting you and helping you to empty that trash. Next, deal with unforgiveness. And it's not unforgiveness of just others. It's also of ourselves. We wouldn't imagine how many people basically live in the guilt from situations of their past or even things that they've done to other people. So number one, choose to forgive yourself and choose to forgive someone else that wronged you. And the reason why I say choose, as hard as it is, it's a choice. And what mm-hmm. I find in my profession, a lot of people don't realize that forgiveness is not about the other person. It's
mm-hmm.
strictly about you making a choice to say that I'm not going to be bound by what someone did to me. And, yes, you may need professional help to help you guide you through that experience of letting that go, but when you don't forgive, it holds up the blessings that wants to come to you. So deal with unforgiveness, again, with yourself and with others. Deal with disappointments. I find that disappointment causes people to live in fear, and I think on another show I've said that peace, fear is the direct opposite of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Live in faith and not fear. Increase and or discover your spiritual beliefs. Read and study books that inspire you. I just recently penned the foreword of a new book that my father is working on, and it's titled The I Am Warrior-isms, and it's a daily affirmation. And I encourage our listeners to visit even his website because he has a lot of great books. It's www.universalrelationship, and that's relationship.blogspot.com. But find books that inspire you where you can pour back and affirm yourself. And lastly, give back. Giving back offers you inner peace, and as you give love, love is given to you. Again, that's the law of reciprocity.
Wow, those are some powerful comments, Doc. And as we wind down tonight, I'd like to coin a phrase from Jan Levinzant. You can decide to live in peace or in pieces. And like you said, the choice is yours. As Dr. King stood and delivered his acceptance speech for his Nobel Peace Prize, Dr. King, he urged us all to let love have the last word in our lives. So I challenge you to ask yourself, what are you allowing or what are you giving the last word to in your life? Think about that.
Awesome.
We remind you that if you like what you hear, please visit our website and like us or post a comment. And make sure that you plan to tune in next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Atlanta Life Radio. www.atlantaliferadio.com. Please stay encouraged. On behalf of my host, myself, we urge you to be encouraged. And yes, it may be hard to walk away from something, but when you don't know what you're walking towards, know that God is in it. All things are possible. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember that there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.